Hare Krishna devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome. Suswagatam Bienvenu. How nice to be here with you all. I have been requested by one of our hostesses, Bhaktin Riddhi, to read a particular verse from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Bhagavad Gita Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, Verse 26. So let us read that verse. Shukla Krishne Gati Hyete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yat Yanavritim Anyaya Vartate Puna. Translation. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back. But when one passes in darkness, he returns. And there's a short purport here by Srila Prabhupada. The same description of departure and return is quoted by Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan from the Chandogya Upanishad 5.10, 3-5. Those who are fruit of laborers and philosophical speculators from time immemorial are constantly going and coming. Actually, they do not attain ultimate salvation, for they do not surrender to Krishna. I hope you can hear okay. Can you hear all right? So, yes. Namaam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachare Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyajade Tatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaurava Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpa Charubhyas Jai Kripas Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Yes, so here Lord Krishna is talking about death. Actually, leaving this body, leaving this world, and he's saying that there are two basic ways. In a general sense, one can pass away in light, or one can pass away in darkness. This actually, what's discussed, just mentioned there that we've just read, this is actually part of a greater discussion which begins with verse 23 and goes through to verse 27. So if our hostess does not object. I think she doesn't. We will read those verses because it gives just a broader picture of what Lord Krishna is talking about in this particular verse, which otherwise might possibly not be completely clear. Light, darkness. There's a kind of subtle or specialized type of understanding to what is meant by light and dark, or passing away under conditions of light or under conditions of darkness. So, please give me a minute or two and we'll read these verses from 23. Yatrikale tunavitam avritim chaiva yogina prayata yanti tam kalam vakshyami bharatar shabha. O best of the Bharats, that's Arjuna, descendant of King Bharat. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Okay. So then he goes into detail in 24 and 25. Agnir Jyoti Araha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana. Translation. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light at an auspicious moment of the day during the fortnight of the waxing moon or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. Yes. So such people who pass away at any of these times, they achieve Brahman, Brahma, Brahma, Vidojana. They achieve Brahman. What does that mean? That means they merge into the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Lord. And text 25, Duma Ratris Tata Krishna Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotir Yogi Prapya Nivartate. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waxing moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. So then Krishna speaks the verse which we read, which Riti chose from us, for us. Shukla Krishna Gati Hyete, Jagata Shashvate Mate, Ekaya Yanavritim, Anyaya Vartate Pranath. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light, one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back, at least for some time. But when one passes in darkness, he returns. So Lord Krishna here, well, let me read the next verse and last verse. And is it last verse? No, second to last verse in the chapter, because it gives a little further view on what's being discussed here. Naite sriti parta janam yogi muyati kaschana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yogi yukto bavarjana. Sometimes if the sound system is not working, we just put the microphone here just to remind us. Just for old time's sake. So we think we have a sound system. Unfortunately, the sound system is in darkness. It has passed away from this world. So this verse then, 27, it says, although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore be always fixed in devotion. Yes. So they're not bewildered by the attractive features of the passing away in light or the unattractive features of passing away in darkness. Let us just say a few words about these two, passing away in light, passing away in darkness. So certain yogis then, they can control their physical functions so that they can only leave their bodies at certain times. And when the time is not suitable, they will not leave the body. That's interesting, isn't it? So, when are those particular times? Well, the main times are in the light, means during the daytime, at an auspicious moment of the day. For example, during the early morning hours, very auspicious, very sattvic atmosphere. But as, you know, now it's already a little tamasic, little in the mode of ignorance. But wait till it's 9, 10, 11. Then it's really tamasic. Yes, dull time of the day. People are feeling sleepy. People are falling asleep. Like that. So therefore, one of these yogis who can control his or her physical functions sufficiently, they will make sure they do not die at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock. They will rather wait till maybe 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock even. That sort of time. Then they may die. Or alternatively, and even better, if it is combined with, during the fortnight of the waxing moon. You know, the moon wanes and waxes. You familiar with that? We have our lunar calendar. It begins with full moon and it ends with full moon, or just before full moon, immediately. And in between, it wanes, it goes down to the point where there's, so to speak, no moon. And then it waxes, it comes up again until it's just about full moon. That's a lunar month. So, such a yogi will be careful in order to pass away during the light, the auspicious time, such a yogi will be very careful not to die in the first 2 weeks of the lunar month, when the moon is waning, it's going down. But he'll strategize his or her physical condition to only die as the moon is coming up. Or, to be even, make it even more complex and actually much more demanding, only such a yogi will only die during the 6 months when the sun is traveling in the northern hemisphere, the northern summer. Unfortunately, devotees, for such a yogi, this is the not that time. So the yogi should make a point of not dying during the Mauritian summer. It would be nice to be able to control one's physical functions to that point. I don't think we can. Then the inauspicious, so the yogi who passes away during those particular times may merge into the Brahmajyoti, the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Brahma, Brahma vido jana. Tatra prayata gacchanti Brahma, Brahma vido jana. Now then there's the inauspicious time when you shouldn't pass away. During the night, no dying at night, okay? All right, no dying at night. No dying during the fortnight of the waning moon, okay? Be careful about that. Or during the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, that's now. Okay, so no dying until, you know, it's what, something like maybe April, May, just hang on, just hold on. And if the Yamadutas come, just tell them, sit down, take a break. Give them some water or something to drink. And just pray to God. So, then Krishna speaks this verse 26. That when one passes during the light, he does not come back, at least after that life, immediately after that lifetime. He merges into the Brahmajyoti. And he'll come back later, but not right now. But when one passes in darkness in the next life, well, immediately after this life, they'll take birth again. They may go to the moon planet and meet the man in the moon, and maybe find out if the moon is made of green cheese or not, as rumor has it. But then they're going to come back. They're going to come back and just take birth again in some ordinary situation. So then Krishna makes the point in verse 27. That the devotees understand these two paths, but the devotees are not bewildered. They don't think that I must make a point of dying at some particular time, but not at some other particular time. Death waits for no one. And, you know, so generally it's a problem if you want to try and conform with what's stated in these couple of verses. It's just not easy. Because death generally does not wait. Did I ever tell you the story about the man who met death? Did I ever tell you that story? The man from La Flora. It's La Flora, right? Who met death? I didn't. Not in Flack also? Oh, I must have. Let me tell you the story. In La Flora, there was a man, a rich man, wealthy. And he had a big house and the usual things. And he had a servant, an assistant, who would run around and get things done and so on and so forth. So he'd tell him, go and do this, go and do that. And that servant would do those things. So one day, that rich man, he sent the servant to the supermarket. What's it called?
Supermarché.
En La Flora. Wait. In La Flora. Where is it? La Flora? Yes. That's right. So the servant went to the supermarché in La Flora to get something for the rich man. And he's walking through the aisles of the supermarché. And what should happen? But can we take out the echo?
Yes.
It's on the here, isn't it? The echo. And so what should happen as he's walking around the supermarket? He just bumped into another person. Just a bit of a shock. Bang. And they turned around and just looked at each other. And the servant, the assistant, saw it was death. The personality of death. Who's a very shocking person. The horrible, horrible looking person. And the servant was shocked. He just kind of stunned, looking at death. And death's just looking at him. And as they're looking at each other, death made a very strange expression, like evil expression. And it frightened the servant too much. And the servant ran back to his master in the big house in La Flora, and told the boss, the rich man, he said, I just met death. It was horrible. I'm getting out of here. I'm running. I'm getting out. I am going to my brother's place in Rosebell. And I will hide there. In the spare room, under the bed, under the bed, in the spare room, on the second floor of my brother's house, because it's too much, I cannot take it, I'm going. Off he went. And the rich man, can we turn the volume up slightly? Oh, this doesn't work. Okay, so the rich man, he's very upset because now his employee has gone away. Now he has to do everything. So he was very upset. And he thought, I am going to the supermarché. And I'm going to find death.
And I'm going to tell death what I think.
Oh, and the servant said another thing.
He said, you know, yeah, I met death. It was just too horrible. And he was looking at me, and then he made this strange expression. And that was it. I couldn't take it. So anyway, the rich man went down to the supermarché, and he's moving around trying to find death, and he found death. Do you know where he found death in the supermarché? He found death in the butchery, the meat department. He found death. So he walked up to death, and he just said, "Hey, what do you think you're doing? You frightened my servant. Why did you do that? You shouldn't do that." And death said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, I tend to frighten people." And the rich man said, "Well, that's one thing, but why did you have to make that strange expression when you're looking at him? Because it just bewildered him too much." And death said, "Yes, I made that strange expression because I was very surprised to see him here in the supermarché in La Flora. Therefore, it was an expression of surprise. Because the thing is, you see," death told the rich man, "the thing is this. I have an appointment with your servant in his brother's house in Rosebell, under the bed in the spare room on the second floor. So I was surprised to see him here in La Flora." You get the idea. So you can't escape death. Right. Okay, so Lord Krishna's saying then in this last verse 27 that we're looking at also, he says, the devotees understand what is auspicious and what is inauspicious on the material level. The devotees understand, but they do not become bewildered by that. And therefore, he says to Arjuna, therefore, always be fixed in devotion. Because when you are fixed in devotion, then you will not be affected by, you will not have to worry about what is auspicious materially and what is inauspicious materially. You just remain Krishna conscious, and it doesn't matter. Auspicious, inauspicious, what time of the day or month or year or what the conditions are, all these different things, it just doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada told us a story which I think many or most or perhaps all of you are a little familiar with. Prabhupada told the story about the sage who met four people and blessed them differently according to who they were and what they were. He met a butcher. He met a prince. He met a butcher. He met a young brahmachari, spiritual student. And he met a pure devotee. And he blessed each of them differently in terms of their situations. Are you familiar with that? You've heard that? No? Okay. So first he met the prince, and he blessed him. What is it? That you live and you don't die. Live and don't die. Jivova na marova. Because now you're a prince. You have all material facility, wealth, etc., power, all these things. You can just buy people and just gratify your senses, eat, drink, and be merry, and all this sort of thing because of your situation. But when you die, because you're eating, drinking, and being so-called merry, doing all sinful activity, when you die, it is all going to catch up with you. All your karma. And it is, your next life is going to be very difficult. Very painful. Because you've done so much sinful activity. So better you live and you don't die. Then he met a butcher. And if you've ever heard this lecture where Srila Prabhupada is telling the story, Prabhupada gets very, like, emotional about it, about the butcher. So the sage blessed the butcher that na jiva, na marova. You don't live and you don't die. And this is, you know, Prabhupada really gets into it a bit. Prabhupada says, because the butcher, his life now is too horrible. Prabhupada says, see his blood-stained hands. See the ghastly scene. So he shouldn't live. He shouldn't live. To live under such conditions, it's just not for human beings. But he shouldn't die also. Because when he dies, if you think the prince is going to have a bad future, wait and see the future the butcher has coming. It's just too shocking and too horrific. So therefore, na jiva, na maro va, that you don't live and you don't die. Then he meets a young brahmachari, spiritual student. Are you a young brahmachari spiritual student?
No.
I think you must be. He is, isn't he? A little bit? Something, a bit, yeah. Not too much, but to some degree. So you know what he blessed the young brahmachari spiritual student? He blessed him. Na jiva marova. That you don't live, you die. Yes, you don't live, you die. Because the young brahmachari, spiritual student, like, what's your name again? I forgot.
Chaitanya.
Chaitanya. Chaitanya. What can you say except Chaitanya? So the young spiritual student is engaged fully in spiritual activity in the ashram of the spiritual master, in the service of the spiritual master, fully engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord, and is just full absorption in spiritual life. So if he dies now, he'll go to Krishna, because he's just fixed in Krishna consciousness because of the circumstances. But now, if he doesn't die now, if he grows up and becomes an adult, and then generally in sort of 90% or more, 95 or even 99, whatever it is, percent of the cases, he becomes a married man, then life becomes different. Then he's got to work to get money, to get a nice place to live, to look after the family and maintain them, and clothing and food and medical expenses and dealing, you know, training the children. It's not a small job, am I right? It's not a small job. And the thing is, when you have to deal with all these things, it's very easy to forget Krishna and just become caught up in, oh, we need so much money, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, material things. So in the future he may forget Krishna, and then who knows what his future will be. So therefore, na jiva, moreover, you don't live, you die. Now, then he met a great pure devotee, and he blessed the devotee. How to say it in Sanskrit? Jivova Marova, I guess. You live or you die as you like. We leave it up to you. We just leave it up to you. It doesn't matter. Because the pure devotee is completely fixed in Krishna consciousness all the time, 24 hours a day, and is therefore with Krishna all the time. So while living, he or she is with Krishna. When they die, they'll go to Krishna and be with Krishna. So it doesn't really matter. So you live or you die, we leave it up to you. Yes. So now where do we fit into this picture? Well, at least we are more sort of, you could say, following in the footsteps of the pure devotees. I don't think any of us are princes around here. Princesses. Prince of La Flora. So that sort of situation doesn't apply. The butcher, well, we don't even need to talk about that. Brahmachari, maybe Chaitanya. Brahmacharini, maybe some of the younger ladies here, possibly. So maybe they should just die. But more in a broader sense, we're following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, of the great devotees. That is our process. That is what we are trying to work on. And that's what Krishna's talking about here. Don't be bewildered. Don't be bewildered by materially auspicious, materially inauspicious. Because you know, I don't know if you do or how much you may know, but in particularly in Hinduism, there's a certain category, and it's a big category of people who are very, very, very focused on auspicious and inauspicious. Very, very focused. Yeah. Doing certain things at certain times on certain days to get certain results. Even Prabhupada gives a particular example in a purport in, I think it's the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gives the example of giving charity. If you give charity, when you give charity to different types of people, you get different types of results. And Prabhupada gives the example, gives a few examples. One, you give charity to some drunkard in the street who wants, you know, a few rupees to buy a loaf of bread, but then he doesn't use the money to buy a loaf of bread. He buys the money to buy a bottle of, what's the popular choice of the drinkers on Molis? Huh?
Rum.
Oh, rum. Okay. So you give the money. You give the money, you know, supposedly to buy a loaf of bread. He uses the money to buy a bottle of rum and drinks it, sure, and degrades himself and sort of, yes, just drags himself to an even lower level than before. By your mercy. By your mercy. So, the idea is then that you have sponsored this. You have facilitated this. You get the reaction. He also gets some, because he did it, but you have sponsored it. And Prabhupada gives the example of some person paying another person to commit a crime, like particularly to kill another person. Give someone 20,000 rupees, go and kill a certain person. And the paid killer kills the person, and the police catch him, and he tells the police that you paid, but you cannot say, well, look, I didn't kill him. I was here. The killing happened there. I had nothing to do with it. You cannot do it. Yeah, you cannot say like that. You've sponsored. So you have very major responsibility. Did you ever hear the story, just an extremely brief story, of the man with the smoking gun? Have you heard of that one? The man with the smoking gun. There is a man standing, holding a gun. The gun is smoking. On the ground is another man who is dead. He just got shot by the gun. And the police come to arrest the man with the gun. And the man with the gun's smoking gun says, no, no, no. You can't arrest me. It wasn't me. It was the gun. Yeah, responsibility. We're talking about responsibility. So if you sponsor sinful activity or good activity or any activity, but here we're talking about bad activity, then you at least share the result. You've got a substantial responsibility. So therefore, if anyone does give charity to the drunken person in the street, supposedly to buy a loaf of bread, but they buy a bottle of rum and just destroy themselves, you are going to get a really significant reaction. It will not be good at all. Then Prabhupada goes on to talk about giving charity to some ordinary material charitable institution. The Red Cross, the Save the Children, you get all these, Oxfam, and so on and so forth. So basically, Prabhupada makes the point that if you give charity to such an organization, in the future, you will get the same amount back. Same amount. So if you give 100 rupees, somehow or other in the future, 100 rupees will come your way. Somehow. By higher arrangement. Then, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of giving charity to a qualified Brahmin. Qualified Brahmin. And in that case, Srila Prabhupada says, in the future, you will get 10 times back. In the future. It'll come your way. Without you trying to find it or acquire it, it'll just end up in your hands. Then Srila Prabhupada gives final example of giving charity to a pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada says, if you do that, in the future, you will get unlimited times back. Unlimited times back. So therefore, on that basis, on that type of basis, in India, Bharat Mein, you find some people who are into giving charity. And they, if they think you are the right sort of person to give charity to, meaning that if they give you charity, in the future they're going to get some substantial return. They will force you to take charity. They will force you. They'll try and force you to take charity. Even if you don't want it. This is auspicious and inauspicious. And even there are considerations like when you're walking in the street, if you when you meet an auspicious person, like a Brahmin, some auspicious person, you must pass them with your right side towards them, not with your left side towards them. Because if you pass with your right side towards them, there'll be some auspicious reaction you'll get. But if you pass some inauspicious person or creature, like a dog, you should pass them with your left side towards them. You heard about these things. You know, in what is it, the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the description of Arjuna returning to Hastinapur following the departure of Lord Krishna from this world. And when he comes back, his brother, one brother, Yudhisthira, sees he's very upset because Krishna has passed away. Yudhisthira was not aware. Arjuna was aware. And Yudhisthira is saying things like, you know, I've been seeing omens. And he says, inauspicious creatures have been passing me on my left side, on my right side. deities. I've been seeing deities crying. There has been, what is it? Thunder with no clouds. Something has happened. Something bad has happened. But I don't know what it is. And then Arjuna tells him, actually, Lord Krishna's left this world. So this is, you know, this is all part of auspicious, inauspicious, on the material level. Have you ever met Subhag Swami? Anyway, he's one of our ISKCON sannyasis, Bengali, very nice, elderly devotee now. He was telling us how he went with two other devotees to the house of one gentleman who was like very into these considerations. Three of them came to the door. The man opened the door, saw three of them, slammed the door closed. Because three, it's inauspicious. Three people, it's inauspicious. They came back later, just two. He opened the door and acted like nothing had happened. Oh, come in. Oh, very nice. What can I do for you? So this is auspicious and inauspicious. And these, all these considerations here, you know, you must not die at night. You must die during the day. And you must not die during the waning moon, that part of the lunar month. And you must not die during the Mauritian summer. This is all auspicious, inauspicious. And it, on the material level, it has consequences. It has real consequences. If you leave your body, if you die during these auspicious times, then you go to the Brahmajyoti and you stay for some time. Then you come back later. It may be a lot later. Maybe really a lot later. Therefore it said, Krishna says, when one passes in life, he doesn't come back. He's referring to, in sort of immediate current terms. Whereas if you die, a yogi, not just some ordinary Tom, Dick, or Harry, as they say, just some fellow in the street, but a yogi, an actual yogi, who passes away during these inauspicious times, that person may go to the moon, which is a heavenly planet, and spend some time, like one lifetime, but then come back to this level. And so Krishna says, when one passes in darkness, he returns shortly. So, but the devotees don't worry about these things. The devotees don't worry about these things. Like, here's another auspicious, inauspicious. It is, in some circles, considered auspicious to speak like a higher level of Hindi, so-called should, you know? When you say but something, you don't say lekin, you say kintu. Yeah, kintu is actually Sanskrit, in fact, but it's also, it's higher level Hindi, whereas lekin, pani for water, and, you know, these are actually acquired terms from Urdu culture, whereas jal, this is a Sanskrit term, it's a higher level. And they will not appreciate it if you speak like street Hindi to them. They consider it inauspicious. Want to speak of English? That's off the scale. they would not consider you really a human being. And Creole, I don't know where, but it wouldn't be good. So auspicious, inauspicious. You know, in Krishna consciousness, spiritually, there are certain things which are auspicious spiritually, and certain things which are inauspicious spiritually, but they're different. They're different. Like, it's auspicious to get up early in the morning. I mean, it's also materially auspicious for that matter, but it's spiritually auspicious to get up early, take a bath, and chant. That's auspicious. It will help you, and you will feel it. You'll feel the auspiciousness of it. It's very powerful. In fact, I have told many people, many, and I'll just mention it to all you nice devotees right now. If you want to help yourself in Krishna consciousness to progress and develop spiritually, if you want to do that, get up early and chant. If you want, on the other hand, to go backwards spiritually, to go down spiritually, if you want to lose your spirituality, make a point of not getting up early. Make a point of getting up late and not chanting nicely. And you will go down. You will be successful. In other words, if you want to go down, you will be successful. You'll go down and you'll feel it. Because these things are inauspicious. Like, associating with devotees is auspicious. It's very auspicious. Very beneficial. Spiritually. Yeah. So, you know, I was driving through one village in Russia. A black cat walked across the road. The driver slammed on the brakes, you know, we almost went through the front window, turned the car around, and then continued driving. And then a second black cat came. He slammed on the anchors, did a 360 degree turn, and carried on. And then a third black cat came, and he did the same thing. And you know what happened? A year later, a number of devotees had bought properties there. They all lost their properties. Like, several devotees. They were more or less, the properties were more or less stolen from them, actually. Russia's like another world. So, auspicious and inauspicious. But devotees, we don't really need to worry about these things. We should just chant Hare Krishna. We should really try and cultivate our Krishna consciousness very nicely. Really try and chant without offenses. Associate with devotees. Serve the devotees and help spread the Krishna consciousness movement in whatever way we can. And then it won't really matter if you died this time or that, or we're all going to die sooner or later. Some of us sooner and some of us later. We don't know. But if we're fixed in Krishna consciousness or trying, then just like out of those four examples, the prince, the butcher, the spiritual student, and the pure devotee, if we're really trying our best to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't really matter. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada made the point, this is a very important point, Prabhupada made the point that if during this life we really try to serve Lord Chaitanya, serve his movement and spread his movement, Prabhupada made the point that when the time of death comes, because the time of death is not an easy time, it's very unusual that people just suddenly turn around and drop dead. Unless you're hit by a car or shot, even if you're shot, normally it takes time. It takes some hours. The person loses consciousness. The body starts turning off and turning off. You know, more and more different functions start turning off, and finally the whole system actually switches off. Prabhupada talked about Mahatma Gandhi, who was shot and famously apparently said Ram Ram when he was shot. Unfortunately, he didn't die at that moment. They took him to hospital. He died a bit later. He was in a sort of comatose or semi-comatose state for some time, and then he passed away. So, yeah. So to be able to just control at the time of death, okay, here's the time of death, what should I do? Chant Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Gangamaya Kijai. Doesn't really happen much. Generally, people sort of just drift away into death. So, but Prabhupada made the point, if you try your best to serve Lord Chaitanya's movement during your life, then when the time of death does come, even if your condition is something else, you're unconscious or whatever, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya will come and force his way into your mind, and then you'll go back to Godhead. So for the devotees, we don't need to worry about these things, but really just try our best to cultivate our Krishna consciousness and to help others become Krishna conscious, and to help the development and spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.